Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh boy, welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in, and I got to say, it doesn't feel like the day after Christmas. Even though the kids, oh, was it a wreck the day of Christmas morning? The kids just throwing toys and paper all over the place. I was like every other dad, Carl, with the bag, picking up all the wrapping paper as soon as it touched the ground.
I always make sure I throw my trash out on the 23rd because the dumpsters are full on the 24th and the 25th.
Meaning you have to throw your trash in dumpsters? They don't do pickup where you're at?
They'll pick up. They're probably going to pick up today. Those dumpsters are full today from wrapping paper and Christmas waste.
So you have like a
I'm in the city.
Neighborhood dumpster. You live in the city. Okay. Do they pick up on time?
In the alleys. They're better at it this year than they were last year. How's that?
Okay. It's still not great, though. No, still have some to be desired.
I'm not saying it's great.
Oh, Carl. I mean, I like that you have to get out there and you're telling your kids, hey, we're going to open up Christmas early just so I can get to the dumpster
No. I just make sure that because it's not just the Christmas trash. It's the people that forgot to take out the rest of their regular trash.
Right.
And they're like, we'll just take them all out at the same time. No, that's insane.
A bunch of ham bones and things you got to throw away from the Christmas dinner.
True.
All right. How about we do this shortlist?
Sure. Why not?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I don't really know what was going on, but I had to use the Christmas gas.
What do you mean the Christmas gas?
The green, it was a green handle instead of black.
I'll kill you for real.
She said, I'll kill you for real. Your wife calls you and says they used the Christmas gas with the green handle. I would be so mad. I wouldn't be able to handle it.
You have so many people talking about how everything is weighed down right now. The White House on January 20th at noon will be Republican. The House and the Senate, what? Republican.
They're just scared of that idea. That was on NBC, April Ryan, who went on to say that it's Joe Biden who the founding fathers had in mind to bring balance to government, as in NBC all of a sudden is concerned about balance in government.
President-elect Donald Trump is taking shots on the golf course and on social media this Christmas Day, calling Canada's Prime Minister, quote, Governor Justin Trudeau.
Can I just say that's hilarious? Some of the things you miss about the Trump administration, things like that are just pure hilarity.
Happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so.
Happy Chinooka to you, Carl.
Chinooka to you. I said it a thousand times yesterday to people.
That was Smokey Robinson doing a cameo paid video for someone that said, hey, can you wish this person a happy Hanukkah? Smokey Robinson saw that in Chinooka, whatever that is. It's one of those words, unless you knew that's how it's spelled, there's no way you'd guess it.
And I'm sure. And so on Instagram and TikTok, everywhere that has been reposted yesterday, the first comment is Smokey Robinson saying, I now know what it means. Happy Hanukkah.
Right. Yes, he knows.
And he probably knew what it meant then, too. He just
saw it written down. Yeah, that's one of those words. You've heard it a million times. You know what it is. But when you see it written down for the first time, it will throw you off. Can I tell you?
And it could be spelled four different ways.
You said that someone hit $1 million in Missouri with the Powerball?
It's Mega Millions.
Yeah.
Four people won the million. So they hit the five balls without getting the red ball.
Right.
So they win $1 million. And if they did the multiplier, they get $2 million.
Right. But they
one won the billion.
Ball. Yeah. How would you, if you're watching the screen, and let's say you had those numbers, and you had your ticket, and you see your five numbers pop up in a row, and then that gold ball at the end or whatever is like circulating. Tell me you're about to have a stroke. You think you could be a billionaire?
Well, first of all, if you are pinning your hopes on that and you're watching it live, you have other problems. But you're watching it on accident. You're not watching it. You're not going out of your way. That's not appointment viewing.
Right. Well, even so, if you look at it on a screen and you're like, wait, that's my number. That's my number. That's my number. Your eyes get bigger. And then you, at some point, don't believe what you're seeing.
No.
Like, this can't be real. And then you feel like, okay, the difference between $1 million and $1 billion was just one number. Oof. But still, congratulations
to whoever that
$1 million winner is.
You know, the odds aren't you're going to win anyway. Like Sue Thomas, who we'll hear from in a couple minutes, she doesn't play because she knows the odds are stupidly wrong. And she'd rather save those $3.
Yeah, I don't play either, except when they do an office pool.
Except when it's a billion.
Yeah, no, only when they do the office pool. We'll get the office manager up front that answers the phones and lets people in through the front door.
You have one of those?
Yeah, we have one of those. So she will say, hey, we're putting an office pool together. There'll be 100 people. Well, not 100. She'll buy 100 tickets or something. Some people get multiples. Believe that? 70 to 100 tickets she'll get. A lot of people play it here between all the different stations and salespeople. So, you know, you get that office pool, and next thing you know, hey, you might be able to tag along, and you'll still win about $1 million if everyone hits it, or $5 million or whatever. It'll be worth it. But your odds were a lot better in that way. Hey, did you see that the Christmas messages came in? Donald Trump and Joe Biden offered their Christmas greetings. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump added something extra. He said, except for the 37 that were commuted, their sentences commuted from the list that Joe Biden put out when you had the death row inmates had their death sentences commuted. So Donald Trump said, Merry Christmas to everyone except those 37. And I saw something else, too. The Guardian put out an article about a guy that spent a week wearing VR glasses around to work, to play, to travel, everything else. I got my kids some VR glasses. I think that was the hot toy this year for Christmas. I did, yeah.
Cool.
One of the...
Good dad.
It was on super sale right at the right time. It was the thing that I think a lot of parents are going to end up getting their kids because of just... It was so tempting at that price point. It was... The cheaper one was $300, but you got a $75 rebate and some other bonuses they threw in there depending on where you bought it. So all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I think I can swing that for something that's pretty cool. But the dude spent a week inside the virtual reality goggles on his head. So the speakers are like built into it, so you don't have to wear anything over your ears. You put the straps on, and it has the different cameras on it that pass through, meaning when you're walking around, it looks like you're looking at your natural environment, and it overlays the virtual part onto your screen. So the guy was working with it. He added these extra screens. he traveled on a plane with it. He said it looked goofy, but he's like, the plane ride went by so fast. He said he exercised better, worked harder, enjoyed life better. So he was like actually amazed by it. He said, once they work out all the problems in these glasses, he said, this is going to be something that everyone does, walk around with these goggles. Number one, no, you'll never find me walking around in public with VR goggles. Nah. But number two, I've tested these things just to see what it was like. After about 15 minutes, it messes with your brain. Like, it starts to rewire your brain. It feels like when you take it off that little things might pop up, or if you put your arm out, you're going to interact with air. Like you somehow you have a superhuman power. It tricks your brain into thinking these things, even after a short amount of time. I found, at least for me, disorienting in a way. I can't see myself using these things long term, as in, you know, any interaction I have in the world, I'm going to have this on with my head. I can understand a game for a half hour, but not like for everyday use. But this is how this one opinion writer for The Guardian says we're going to end up using them in the future. Scary. It shows a picture of him in his kitchen cooking with the thing on. He's cooking with it on. And Carl, next thing you know, we're going to broadcast with them on too. Maybe I can just slap them on and do the rest of the show with the VR goggles.
Let's try it.
Is that a good idea? I mean, we are streaming live on YouTube and all the Facebooks and
YouTube,
places like that.
Facebook, X, and Rumble.
And let's do it. Should I go get the glasses, go put them on and try them for
you know
the rest
what?
Of the show?
I'll play the national anthem here, and you can go grab the goggles.
Well, I wasn't serious about it, but I am Ryan Riker filling in for Mark Cox, who, by the way, will be back tomorrow. So let's enjoy the time while we have it. And Mark will, I'm sure, have some great holiday stories for you as well. 97.1 FM Talk.
Let it snow, let it snow.
Carl, you're not allowed to play this.
It doesn't show signs.
So today, Ryan, we're playing, like, Casey Cage just like killed it at midnight. So we're going to play winter songs that don't mention Christmas at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all these supposed Christmas songs don't mention Christmas at all.
So you want to try to cheat the system?
Yes, for one more day. Because everybody else has quit cold turkey. We are easing into this week between Christmas and New Year.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think, Carl, that you're going to confuse a lot of people.
Overthink it? What, they think that they missed Christmas? Yeah, no.
They're going to wake up from a coma. And oh, thank goodness I didn't miss Christmas. Carl would never trick
me. It's not a Christmas carol. You're not Scrooge waking up. But also, Ryan, some people are doing Christmas today or this weekend.
Oh, yeah, because you do the 12 days of Christmas? You kind of
spread
it out.
Oh, yeah, today's
out, right?
The second day of Christmas.
Right. I floated the idea by the kids. They vetoed that. I was outvoted. They said they are not spreading their gifts out over after the 25th of
and
December.
And you didn't want to get them 180 birds?
I tried so hard, Carl. I was outside. I was trying to catch birds. I didn't catch a single bird.
You were
not
looking for
one.
A partridge?
Yeah. I mean, you know how hard it is to track down a pear tree where I live? It is so hard. And there they were, no partridges in the pear tree. So I mean, I tried.
A lot of pear trees in Detroit, huh?
It was so hard to find one. You know, my grandma had a pear tree in her backyard when I was growing up. And all the neighbors expected you to bring over pears. Like, once they were ready to be consumed, the neighbors just assumed you're going to bring them over because you have so many pears. We ate so many pears at that house. It was like an overabundance of pears until my grandma chopped the tree down. It was a shame. But, you know, pears are delicious. At the same time, they're strange. They have a weird texture.
Yes.
Don't they? They're a little sandy.
You expect an apple, and it's a pear.
Yeah.
Still unless good. You're eating it, you know, in the pear shape. Because
right.
I had, at one of the Christmas parties we were attending, there were sliced pears. I'm like, oh, apple.
Yeah.
Nope, pear. And I love pears. It's just that if you expect one and eat the other, surprise.
Yep. There is some good news that came out the last day, and I'm reading this from Fox 2. An injured police officer is out of the hospital and back home just in time for Christmas Day. This is regarding to the Ted Drews crash.
Oh, the officer that was trying to get people off of the car.
Yeah, the off-duty officer that just happened to be there from injured Washington police officer Matt Cooper showing improvement. And I think back home, another article I read, but it said he did make it home for Christmas. He's in a lot of pain, long road to recovery. So I think he was struck when the car backed out trying to flee after hitting all the people.
Yes.
So he was trying to pull people out of the way to save them. This young teenage driver, an adult still, tries to flee the scene by backing up and hits the officer. And they said, I think they said he was pushed onto Washington. Like he was hit with so much force. Like this 19-year-old that was driving backed up with so much force that it knocked him into the street. Now imagine if there were other oncoming traffic or cars there that could have been escalated even worse. He might not be alive today if that was the case. It was just absolutely, at least what I was reading online, some of the accounts of what happened there. This guy's a true hero, and good news that he's back home. Good news is that he's alive and with his family, and I'm sure his family members are looking that this is a pure miracle that he is alive today. And all the people that were injured there at Ted Drew is still alive. That's a Christmas miracle. We still haven't learned much about the person driving the car yet, have we?
Not really. No.
Isn't that strange? You think there would be some more information coming out about this kid.
You think that.
Adult, I should say. He's a man. He's, what, 19, but still the teenager or whatever. One other thing before we go to break him. When we come out of the break, we're going to be talking to Brad Hudson, Senator-elect, about the Second Amendment. And you know what? There's some legislation that he's going to be putting a lot of effort into next year that could affect people, particularly here in St. Louis, when they try to pass more stringent gun laws that are actually a lot harsher than where they are in the rest of the state on the state level. So we'll see where that stands. Donald Trump floated an idea. I think this is so funny. So you have Donald Trump for Christmas out there in talking about Canada and the prime minister. You know what? I think we have a clip of this. Maybe we should play this clip instead. The one clip number, what is it?
Nine.
Number nine. Can we play clip number nine?
President-elect Donald Trump is taking shots on the golf course and on social media this Christmas Day, calling Canada's prime minister, quote, Governor Justin Trudeau, then saying citizens should start a draft Wayne Gretzky movement to replace him.
I love it so much. Draft Wayne Gretzky. Let's get Wayne Gretzky to take over for Justin Trudeau. Now, I don't think Wayne Gretzky, even though he lives here in St. Louis still, does he with his wife?
His in-laws are here.
Right, his in-laws are here. And I thought he is seen in St. Louis often. But you think, given the chance, would he move back to Canada and work in that role as prime minister? Put the great one in. I would trust Wayne Gretzky over Justin Trudeau 100%, and it would be a huge upgrade for Canada. Let's consider it. The great one returns. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. Joining us now is State Senator-elect Brad Hudson. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's talk about some of the priorities we're going to be looking at starting next year in Missouri. And what are some of these bills that have to do with the Second Amendment? And there's one particular that I think there was one that you proposed, but there's another one you're supporting that's going on. What's going on with that?
So I have pre-filed Senate Bill 74, which would expand and add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption laws. Currently, in the state of Missouri, we do not allow political subdivisions, that would be cities and counties, to enact ordinances that are gun control stricter than what state law allows, with the exception of open carry. What my bill would do make it to where cities and counties cannot act any firearms ordinance that's stricter in Missouri law and than Missouri law in any way, including open carry. It would add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption law in that it would allow individuals to sue the political subdivisions that would violate their Second Amendment rights. So this is, if you look at Jackson County and the ordinance that was the illegal ordinance that was passed last month, I think it was, what we're trying to do here is to prevent counties and cities from violating the Second Amendment rights of their citizens.
Okay. So why would this be necessary? So individual areas, they kind of have their own, people, their own feel to it. They want to have their own laws. So why not allow places like St. Louis or some of these other places to have their own regulations?
Yeah, I can appreciate that question. And on many things, I am certainly in favor of local control. But not local control when it comes to something that would violate the constitutional rights of a citizen. Political subdivisions are created by the state. The state has a responsibility to protect the God-given rights of the citizens of that state. And so the Constitution recognizes you've got a right to keep and bear arms, and that shouldn't change just because you cross the city limit sign.
So let's look at some of the problems that I think people run into. I'll just take St. Louis as an example, that they don't honestly know what the laws are, right? A lot of times the people that the police are busting are the ones that are just going to ignore whatever law is being brought up to begin with. So what would something like this do to help protect those that are law-abiding citizens?
Yeah, so, and that's, that's a good point. So a lot of folks need to understand that there's a reason that when you look at a lot of these places that have some of the most violence and crime that firearms are involved in, also have some of the strictest gun control laws. When you have a situation where law-abiding citizens cannot defend themselves, then you have a situation where law-abiding citizens are in danger. And so it's not right for governments to disarm law-abiding citizens, because we know criminals, by definition, do not obey the law. And so if you have law-abiding citizens and you tell them they can't carry, you tell them they can't possess a firearm, then how are they going to protect themselves from those that don't care what the law says anyway?
Can I bring up, I don't know if this would help or not, but let me bring up an example that happened in New York, this Daniel Penny effect. And you probably have seen over the weekend that poor woman burned alive. You had an illegal immigrant that watched it, that not only perpetrated it and sat there and watched this poor woman burn to death. And all these bystanders were watching, pulling out their phones, and they're calling it the Daniel Penny effect because no one stepped in to help. And it's just a horrific, sad, terrible thing. Do you feel like in Missouri, in some of these areas, that there may be people that would step in to help, but they're afraid that if it was revealed they had a concealed or any type of firearm on them, that, you know what, my life will be ruined if I try to save someone else's life. So, I'm not going to bother doing it. Do you think perhaps laws like this would help bystanders protect other people that are becoming victims as well?
I think so. I think it absolutely would. Listen, we've got some areas in our state where crime is a significant issue, and you cannot, as great as the men and women of law enforcement are, and as well as they do their jobs, you cannot expect that they're going to be everywhere at all times. We need citizens that are willing to step in and do the right thing, and until we empower them to do that, until we realize that we've got responsibilities as citizens, then we're going to continue to have these pockets of our state that are lawless societies and pockets of our country that are that way as well.
What do you think? Do you think there's a pretty good chance that this gets serious consideration here in 2025?
I think so. I've been having some good conversations with people that are connected to both sides of the building. I know we're going to have some good allies in the House that are going to be all for this. And I've made it one of my top priorities in the Missouri Senate. So I think we're going to have a good conversation about this. Missouri already recognizes that we are a 2A state, that we believe in protecting a citizen's right to keep and bear arms. And there are a whole lot of folks that work in that Capitol building in Jefferson City that ran on protecting the Second Amendment. So here's a way we can do that. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to have a path forward on this and certainly be able to have some good conversations about it.
From District 33, Brad Hudson joining us here. Let me bring up an argument that what I heard a lot over the years in St. Louis, which was police would say this, the mayor would say this, different politicians, and keep in mind St. Louis is St. Louis, you know where they stand on these things. But nonetheless, they would say that when you allow for this, gives people the opportunity to use the gun in a legal way. So let's say It may start off with them being able to just carry, and there's nothing wrong based on these laws to do that. But then they get into an argument and, oh, look at that. They just happen to have the gun, so they're going to use the gun in a way to hurt someone else. And then they use it in an illegal way. So their mindset is, you know what? If we can just eliminate it altogether, then we'll stop having crime. So that's basically their mindset with all of this. So what would you say to those, the politicians, in some cases, even those ranking police officials that say that this is actually counterproductive?
Yeah, I totally disagree with that logic. Disarming law-abiding citizens is never the answer. Again, criminals, by definition, they are they don't care what the law says, and there are going to be criminals out there that possess firearms, that have firearms, and you know, the Jackson County ordinance is a good example of a political subdivision that wants to do something, but they're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. They're making it illegal, with some exceptions, but they're making it illegal for individuals under 21 to possess firearms. Think about that for a minute. They are disarming young adults. That is not the right direction to go with this. We cannot infringe upon an individual's constitutional rights because some folks violated the law. This is not the answer. This is not the way that we make our community safer.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, there was an argument I heard years ago by Trey Gowdy. I always enjoyed him when he was serving. I think he was in South Carolina, but essentially, can you think of any other constitutional protections that are asked to be waived based on someone else violating them? Imagine if your First Amendment protections were waived because someone else used them in a way that shouldn't have been used illegally. We couldn't imagine anyone else's rights being taken away based on how someone else used them. And then why wouldn't we also protect the Second Amendment that way? So I think that's important. If people wanted to look you up online, Brad, by the way, where can you go?
Yeah, that's great. So we don't have official Senate contact information because I won't officially become a state senator until January the 8th. But I am on Facebook at Brad Hudson for Missouri. I'm on X at Brad underscore Hudson underscore. And we're looking forward to hitting the ground running come January.
Wonderful. Good luck to you, Brad Hudson's Senate District 33 here in Missouri. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
So you don't think Jingle Bell is Christmas related?
No, it was originally written about Thanksgiving.
This was written about Thanksgiving?
No, the original Jingle Bell was.
Oh, I see.
But they don't mention the word Christmas in this song at all. I mean,
I feel like you're trying to audition for a Odyssey exclusive streaming channel where you play songs that are not explicitly about Christmas, but are understood to be Christmas songs.
I made sure to play religious Christmas songs on December 24th, Christmas Eve. But these are for the people that are still celebrating the season. Why can't we still celebrate the season without, you know, being uptight about it, Ryan Recker? Now, tomorrow on the Mark Cox Morning Show, when Mark Cox is back, I will have a different theme.
Why are you so uptight, you ask me? You're playing Jingle Bell Rock after Christmas.
On Boxing Day. It's the second day of Christmas.
Still, I'm so uptight.
You're right.
Okay, you know what? How about this, Carl? Do me a favor, because I'm going to forget I'm going to say this. If I get a chance to fill in again, like in March or something,
you
play Jingle Bell Rock for me. Yes, please. Slip in a Jingle Bell Rock, please.
I promise.
You
Ethan,
have the memory
write that
to
down.
Do that. All right. Couple of stories. It's March and it's Jingle Bell Rock. I used to do that on the overnight show where I would play Monster Mash just
in June.
All year long, I'd play Monster Mash.
It didn't mention Halloween in there at all.
Yeah.
The monsters are having a party.
Yeah, why not? You can party anytime. And we had a producer that was late all the time. So when he was late and the other
He doesn't work here anymore, so you can mention him.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to be mentioned. He would show up late, so the other producers were like, come on, get here already. They're waiting for him to show up. So we would play Monster Mash and to say, oh, why did you play this? And we'd like pretend it was the other guy that was late playing his favorite song, Monster Mash, and it became a bit. And to this day, I still think it's funny. I mean, you could play Monster Mash this morning, but I'm not asking you to. Please don't.
Now you've got me on a mission.
Yeah. There was a story from The Guardian. U.S. business leaders set to break record on donations to Trump inaugural fund. And they're looking at the amount of money that's been raised so far by Donald Trump. And if you look at the inauguration from Barack Obama in 2009, he raised $53 million. That was more than what was raised in 2013. Joe Biden raised $63 million during the inauguration. As for Donald Trump, he's on track to exceed his $150 million fundraising goal. So if you take the highest year by Barack Obama, Donald Trump will break that by $100 million in donations. And a lot of these donations are coming from big companies, tech companies, car companies. There are people that are just, as Donald Trump posted on Truth Media, everybody wants to be my friend. I kind of like the idea that now everyone is sucking up to him. There was another story, and that's just a side note. I saw this on the New York Post. There are 10 highest paying jobs with the lowest stress levels. Would you say radio is a high or low stress level industry? I would say it's medium, maybe.
It depends on what format.
Yeah. In talk radio, I find that I don't stress out much on the job. It would take a lot for me to, like, there's times where I'm extremely busy and I'm working solid from start to finish. And I'm just like at the end, oh, I'm glad this day's over. It's been a long day. But I don't feel stressed by it. I've kind of reached the point in my career where I don't have the responsibility that a manager would have, where they have to like, oh man, this is going to be a 12-hour day to get everything done. I have 8 hours. I do everything I can in that 8 hours. I work as hard as I can in those 8 hours. And when it's done, it's done. Like, I don't feel any obligation to go above and beyond, you know, working for free, you know, extra overtime without getting paid for it, kind of like a manager would be expected to do. So I find that radio, when you kind of have less expectations put on you, it's kind of nice. I actually enjoy that. Here's the 10 highest paying jobs with the lowest stress levels. Number one, water resource specialist. All you need is a bachelor's degree. Medium annual salary is 157 grand. And they estimate that the job growth between now and the next 10 years will grow by 8%. Radio's like the opposite. The salaries go down. Job growth is down. What is needed to get a job is low. I don't even know if you need a high school degree anymore to get a job in radio.
You used to need to have a FCC license.
Yeah, you had to apply. You're right. I'm not old enough to have to be required to get an FCC license. Carl, did you have to get one?
I did.
Yeah, see, I missed out on that by a little bit.
And you know luckily, what you'd had to do?
Did you just take a test? Or did you have to pledge like you wouldn't break the law? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah. Essentially, you told them you're not going to break any laws, right?
I still have it somewhere.
It's like a little card?
It's a yellowish-orange kind of card that has your name on it that you signed.
Cool. Yeah, I remember that, oh boy, when I first got a job in radio, was there a sign that you had to like agree to that was posted in the station? What was it? I can't remember.
You had to sign the logs to make sure that the tower was still transmitting.
Oh, I had to do that manually. Yeah, before everything was automated. Here's some other jobs. Astronomer, annual medium salary, $149,000. Actuary, don't even know what they are. I would have to look that up.
They look up statistics for like insurance purposes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I could do that. 120 grand. Why am I, it says the estimated job growth 23%. Why am I not in that industry and just do radio for fun? Like, I'll just do fill-ins like this, and then I'll go be an actuary for my regular job. Kind of like Brad Young. He has a real job. He's a lawyer. He's well-respected in the community. He does things to help people. And here I am, filling in day after Christmas. Environmental specialist, mathematician, computer systems analyst, fuel cell engineer. There's a lot of jobs on there that I think Carl and I will be in the employment line soon. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. Carl, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, or Happy Halloween.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.